When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cohen II, and with me, as always...
Sesame Frost Encarta.
That's a very seasonal name. I like it. Mm-hmm. Tis the season to be frosty.
Yeah. And there's also a season to watch the Frost-Nixon debate.
Yeah, I watched that movie. I don't know. I watched Frost-Nixon. I think I watched the wrong movie.
Oh, well, shoot. Okay. I never watched it. I've watched the actual debate.
Yeah.
We could talk about that. But
The Frost-Nixon movie is actually good, but I kept waiting for like one of them to turn into a snowman, and it never happened. I was like, oh.
Yeah. You know what would be funny, too, is that Nixon would be the one that turned into a snowman, not Frost, which you think because...
Oh, yeah.
Frost. But no, it was like they kind of did a little flip on you, so...
Yes, it's a...
Oh boy.
But no, really, I did watch the movie. So, you know, in my life, I've always hoped that I would see a movie with three of Frank Zappa's kids, a January 6th insurrectionist, a singing and sometimes frozen Batman, and Henry Rollins in his most punk rock thing he's ever done. That was my thought after seeing the movie. I'm like, yeah.
What was the January 6th insurrectionist?
It is Jay Johnston. He plays the TV weatherman. I saw him and I was just like, oh, wait, that's the guy from Mr. Show who was a January 6th insurrectionist.
Oh, that dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was, he played like that one scene where they're like all playing poker together and they're all like talking about like their big New Year's resolutions or whatever.
Yeah, he was in a lot of, sketches. He was a main cast member of Mr. Show. But it's he somehow went from being associated with people like Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, who hate Donald Trump, to being a January 6th insurrectionist. And just like, what the?
That's so wild. Like, it reminds me, too, of, like, the guy, speaking of Frost, the founder of the metal band Iced Earth was there as well. And it was, like, just so wild to me because, like, you know, I used to listen to, like, Iced Earth a lot when I was younger, when I was getting into, like, metal music and stuff like that. And, you know, I had to listen to them for, like, decades at that point. But then when I heard about that, I was just like, what the hell is going on with America?
And things are just getting better, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You could say they're getting frostier and they're solidifying and
and coming back to life.
Yeah, I guess. But with really interesting animation style.
Yeah. As you know from the title, we're covering the 1998 film Jack Frost, starring Michael Keaton, Kelly Preston, Joseph Cross, Mark Addy, Henry Rollins, Mika Borum, Andrew Lawrence, Taylor Handley, and a bunch of other people. And a cameo from a January 6th insurrectionist. you know, like every good film needs.
That's what they should do when they, you know, like, if they re-release it, they do like a special edition, they should say, and a special January 6th insurrection. Say that in like the credits.
Every good family comedy needs a January 6th insurrectionist in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen with some of these like family films coming to Bentke or something. You know,
that would be a good idea.
The Daily Wire's, kids output.
Yeah. Oh, God. Or it could be like an actual like National Lampoon or something like that, where it actually turns out where like a family was, oh, this is a good idea. We probably shouldn't talk about it, or whatever. Yeah. But like basically it'd be like a, it's okay, we have the idea first, it's on document.
Oh my gosh, I like this idea. I think I know where you're going. So
basically the family who's like there to like just like visit the Capitol on that day, they just have no randomly, idea. Yeah. So then like they get caught up and like they get like one of the people who gets like interrogated and arrested for being part of the insurrection. No one's allowed to steal this idea. This improved. This is just as good as a contract. So
I like this. I think we need to write an outline and for this soon. I think
we have, like we could make Ed Helms play like the dad or something, or I don't know. And then
he was in that Vacation movie, so
that's why I was thinking of that. Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah. Like to see that, you know, it'd be like Accidental Insurrectionist or something.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, I don't know, something like that, or My Insurrectionist Family.
yeah, that's a good one.
Our Insurrectionist Vacation. I don't know. Yeah. We can workshop this. Anyways, back to this great family film.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. This movie, it was actually made. And I got another little backstory here, too. So the year before this came out, there was another movie called Jack Frost, which was a horror film.
Yeah.
And so when I worked at Blockbuster Video, something I'm not too proud of, and I know a lot of people at video stores across the country did this when this happened. I would sometimes switch the tapes or the DVDs in the cases.
Wow.
Just to see if anybody noticed.
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
I was really hoping more that the people getting the horror film would get the Michael Keaton film, you know?
Exactly. They're like, God damn it, what is this?
You're just you're watching it for a little while, and you're like, wow, Michael Keaton's in this. That's interesting. When are they going to start killing people?
Although, if you shot this movie just a little bit different, this could have been a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like a snowman stalking his family, you know.
I mean, there's child abuse in it. There's different things, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, a little bit of background here on the production of this film. So the costume for Jack Frost, the snowman in snowman form, was created by Jim Henson's Creature Shop. George Clooney was originally set to star as Jack Frost, and they made the character look like Clooney before Clooney left the project, by the way, to do Batman and Robin.
Oh, boy.
another Frozen failure. And basically, the snowman's face and the way he moves his mouth and everything is based on Clooney's face, not on Keaton's. A different Batman, you know, they were both Batman, so
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
oh my god,
yeah, there was a lot of people. Other things too, before we get into it, there were Kurt Russell, Billy Bob Thornton, Dennis Quaid, and Kevin Costner were all considered for the role of Jack Frost.
Wow, so I could see
and Tim Allen and Mel Gibson were also considered.
I can see Tim Allen because he was in like those Santa Claus movies. Yeah. Kurt Russell would have been, I think he could have pulled that off.
I'd like to see Billy Bob.
Billy Bob, definitely. I mean, he was in Bad Santa later on, but
also the whole musical aspect of it. Billy Bob Thornton's an actual singer and musician, so it would have.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Okay.
I mean, as is Michael Keaton, he recorded all the music the singing at least that he did for this movie. So.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. That's the other thing, too. I was hoping for a little bit more music in this movie, considering that his character was a musician.
I was hoping for some kind of, like, really cool, like, after he died, like, tribute to him or something from some different, you know, like, maybe have some cameos. Like they talk on the TV, like, there's a, you know, I don't know. When did Stevie Ray Vaughan die?
Oh, I think it was in the 80s.
Oh, so it was before this. But like, they show, I mean, they could have used some other, you know, guitarist or something like that, instead of showing a thing saying, oh yeah, he once played with Stevie Ray Vaughan. They could have actually shown him playing with, you know, a musician. There were several musicians in the movie, not playing musicians, including the Zappas and Henry Rollins.
Yeah, Henry Rollins, obviously, he could have done like a punk rendition of one of their songs or something.
They could have. I mean, it didn't have to be. I'm just saying that they cast musicians in roles that were of non-musicians. So it was like Moon Zappa was a teacher, and one of the other Zappas was the snowplow driver and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, you could have.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to say this, though. I think Henry Rollins plays a suburban sports dad perfectly.
Oh, yeah. He was good. Don't
care. Like he's a great actor, really. He is. Oh, yeah. Like everything I've seen him in, I've never been, like, disappointed, you know?
No.
Anyway, that's a whole other subject.
It's just really weird to watch him, though, because you still have the whole, like, you know, this was the Black Flag singer and in your head, you know?
This was the second Black Flag singer. Yeah. He joined. Anyway, there's a whole YouTube video about
him. He was in the band for like 3 years or something, but still.
He wasn't in there a long time, but like people still associate that band with him.
Yeah, but then, you know, everything he's done since too, like, you know, the Henry Rollins band and his spoken word stuff and everything like that. And just, it's hard to separate that from him as an actor too, sometimes, in my mind.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting here. He's just a dad in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I would still pay for it. I'd pay for a full movie about Henry Rollins as a dad in the suburbs.
That would be pretty cool. That should be the name of the insurrection movie, Suburban Sports Dad, or Suburban Insurrectionist or something like that. Whatever. And or Suburban Commando Part 2. It's like things get real.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know.
Anyway, so what were your thoughts? I mean, basically you thought this was weird, right?
I thought it was weird, but mainly because it felt like there was like three different types of movies going on at the same time. Some of the scenes felt like for example, there's like a snowboarding scene that goes on for like 5 straight minutes. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'm watching a snowboard movie because, you know, early 2000s. That was like a popular, you know, genre at that time. You know, like snowboarding was pretty huge at then, because that was right when, what's his name, that dude who won the Olympics, snowboarding became like a
Sean whatever,
Sean something, I forgot.
Sean White.
Yeah, Sean White, which is another good name for a pun, because, you know, he snowboards. Yeah, and so, like, you know, snowboarding pretty much became like, you know, a huge sport because of that. And I don't know, there's just like stuff in it that just felt like some of these scenes were good and stuff. It just felt like they belonged like in a different movie. Like when, like, they're doing the musician stuff, it just felt like a different type of movie was going to happen. And then suddenly we get into this other style, and then it kind of just jumps back and forth. And I don't know, I guess it was just like definitely a movie of its times. I mean, like, the soundtrack was very 2001 type of, or was it the 2000s or not late 90s?
It was 98.
Oh, okay, 98, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just was kind of disoriented a little bit from watching that, because I couldn't really decide like what type of movie this was.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a family Christmas movie mixed with a really bad Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
Mixed in with some random MTV movie or something. You know, it just seemed really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, what goes on in this movie?
Oh boy. So Michael Keaton plays a character named Jack Frost, and he has a band. He leads a band called the Jack Frost Band, and they're like a really good band, but they never really made it big yet. And it looks like they're finally getting a little bit of traction. You know, their song gets played on the radio, like the local radio station, because someone was at the concert that night who was, like, I guess part of like the record industry or whatever. And you know, typical story of a, you know, working dad who's not home a lot, so it's, you know, it, you know, doesn't spend much time with his family, that whole thing. So he, you know, he promised he was gonna go to his son's hockey game, but he didn't make it because he was in the studio all day, and he said he was gonna make it, but then lost track of time, and then he realized that it was 2.5 hours after the game. So then, you know, he came home and was pretty much gonna, like, face the music.
Pun intended.
And so then he, you know, his wife kind of, you know, digs into him a little bit. He apologizes.
Yeah, his wife is played by the late Kelly Preston. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Kelly Preston. What else was she in?
She was in Jerry Maguire. She's in a few other things. She was married to John Travolta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I should have mentioned, too, that there's a Scientologist in this film. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah. And you got the insurrectionist. And it's like,
So an insurrectionist and a Scientologist walk into a bar.
Yeah. What's going to happen? I don't know. They're going to get
with Henry Rollins.
And Henry Rollins is the bartender.
Yeah.
And he gives him like a straight talking to, whatever.
Yeah.
Straight edge. Yeah, what is he working in the bar? He's a straight edge. He doesn't drink. Whatever. And then that's why he's a bartender. He tries to convince people not to drink.
Yes.
He's like, hey, you know, you can have fun without drinking, bro. How about I give you like some ginger ale or something, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
he goes, here, have a Shirley
Temple. Here you go. Yeah, Shirley. Yeah, there you go. I actually like those. That's pretty good.
Me too.
That's pretty much the only thing I ever drink anymore. Alcohol involved. I'm just like, okay. And then, because alcohol makes my tummy hurt. Anyway, so he apologizes, to Charlie, and then basically blames him being a musician as him being a bad father, I guess. And so we got a lack of taking accountability. That's the first part of the abuse in this film. There's much more child abuse in this film, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different professions you could have and still not spend time with your kid. Or
yeah,
and you could be a musician who finds time to spend with this kid.
Instead of looking inward and trying to be a better father, he blames being a musician on. Anyway, so then he promises again, this time to take the family up to a cabin that they own. So I guess they're doing okay money wise. They got a cabin, as well as a house.
It's always funny in these types of movies, you have this suburban, like middle class family that are supposedly struggling with stuff, but yet they have like a vacation home.
Well, that's why you got to sell the vacation
home.
And then you won't have the money troubles. But like you're biting off more than you can chew there, you know? Anyway, so he gives Charlie harmonica that he bought the day that Charlie was born. And so I guess even at that time, he was deciding not to be in the hospital with his wife while she's giving birth to their one and only son. Instead, just wanders around a music store across the street looking at various instruments. And, okay, so then, they bought that. And then he gave it to, I think he gave that before the hockey game, actually. So he gave that before the hockey game.
Yeah.
Then said it got magical properties to it, which is, maybe you shouldn't say that to a 10-year-old child who's already having issues with, you know, parental stuff of not being there, whatever, you giving them false hope or whatever. Okay. And so he says it's got magical properties and that if Charlie plays the harmonica, Jack will hear it no matter where he's at. So that's the important part of this whole story of this movie. It's that right there.
My dad did that when I was a kid. I don't know about you.
What, the harmonica thing?
Yeah, well, actually, my dad used to work at a cosmetics factory, so he gave me this bottle of nail polish, and he said, anytime you put this on, I'm joking.
I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. Wasn't your dad like a bartender?
No, he did work at a cosmetics factory. When I was a kid, yeah.
Okay, I was like,
he was a floor supervisor at the cosmetics factory.
So. Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he became a bartender later on and stuff. But yeah,
so. Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh God. And then so, yeah, he probably
that'd have been more problematic though if my dad was a bartender when I was a kid and he gave me like a bottle of beer. He says, anytime you drink this,
anytime the bottle of whiskey, anytime you take a sip of it, I'll hear you. You're so. Oh, because you'll be laughing extra hard at whatever you're watching on TV or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he promises them to take him to the cabin. And of course, just as they're about to get in the car, the phone rings. We're talking landline here.
Yeah, because they said when they were going to go to the cabin, this is before, like, you know, cell phones were, like, big. So it was, like, you know, the only cell phones at that time were, like, slightly better models of Zach Morris's phone. And, maybe a little better. I don't know. But anyways,
not by much.
Yeah. And then, so they're leaving, and of course the phone rings right as they're leaving, you know, just, you know, film convenience.
Right.
Yeah. And they basically, the phone rings, and Charlie answers it, and, you know, gives it to his dad, and there's like some kind of bigwig record executive that wants to hear the band. So, yeah. And it has to be the next day.
Yep. Has to be.
Yeah. Because the best time to go and, you know, schedule time to listen to bands around the country is at Christmas.
Exit on Christmas Day. Like, you don't think the record executive would also want to spend time with their family.
Exactly.
Christmas. Like, nope, I hate my family, so I'm going to work today. And I'm going to make everyone else drop what they're doing so that they can spend time with me as I work, because I'm a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, if he's such a selfish piece of shit, he might not even have a family, though, too. So.
Well, true. That's and not, probably no friends either. Oh, boy.
And he never had a dad who gave him a magical harmonica. So.
No, I don't think so. No. Actually, gave him a magical saxophone instead.
Oh, okay.
That was a little bit too big to cart around. You know, harmonica's pretty easy. You can just slip it in your pocket. You can't really put a saxophone in your pocket.
Is that a saxophone in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Oh, no.
Definitely a saxophone. Now my pants are ripping because it's too much. Now I got to go buy a whole new pair of jeans because I can't fit this damn instrument in my pocket.
I mean, there was that other dad who gave his kid a stand-up bass. That was even...
Yeah, it was even harder.
The other one who gave his kid a baby grand piano.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to watch. And he had to basically put that around his shoulder and just kind of drag that, you know, around
the wheel. Like the time I told a cop when I was in the music building at UT late at night one time with a friend who was showing me around, and this campus police officer came and found us in there and asked us what we were doing. He's like, I don't know if you're trying to, you know, steal some instruments or something in here. And I said, yes, officer, I have a baby grand in my back pocket. He didn't find that funny at all. So yeah, he gets called into this thing. So he ends up like driving up to the cabin or up to the gig or whatever with his buddy Mac, played by Mark Addy. The you know, people know him best from Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas, you know.
Or Still Standing.
Yeah, Still Standing was an amazing show. I like that show. But no, I'm just joking, saying that it's best known. He was also in the Full Monty. So
yeah, exactly. It's like a classic, you know.
His buddy Mac is driving with him and to the gig thing, whatever, and the band is following in another car, and he keeps talking about things, and then Mac basically tells him, you know, he talks him into like, you know, you just gotta go be with your family sort of thing. So he's driving there, and Mac tells him, you know, take the car. He takes the car. And Mac rides with the rest of the band to, you know, they're going over to one of the buddies' houses because their mom's making a Christmas dinner for them. And there was something on his windshield or something, or like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he ended up getting in a car accident off of an overpass or whatever or something, and then, you know, died.
Yeah.
And then the movie ended. That was a weird movie.
It was, yeah, pretty much no resolution. That's the other thing that kind of surprised me. So like, I'm sure that the entire band would have been thrilled that this was gonna be their big break, and then the leader of the band decides to leave. They're like, awesome, we're just gonna go over and have Christmas dinner at my mom's house. Like, they would just be not upset at all about like not getting a record deal, not becoming rich and famous. They're like, yeah, you go to see your family, brother. I mean, they might understand, but like, yeah, they're like treen and shit like
well,
that.
My theory is that they thought, well, hey, we're going to talk the record executive into hearing us another time or something. You know, that was
okay.
That's my theory. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy.
But yeah, but after he dies, anyways, Mac ends up losing interest in music altogether. So yeah.
Yeah, we don't hear much about the other members of the band.
No, we don't hear anything about them the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they're just like gone.
Yeah.
And what happened was, it was the windshield wiper kept getting stuck.
That's right. I knew it was something with the windshield.
Normal person would think, hey, you know, it's snowing pretty heavily out here. Maybe I should pull the car over, you know, a little bit and kind of wait for things to settle down or just indefinitely. And then, you know, if your family's still mad at you when you come back and say, hey, actually, I was driving back, but there was a huge snowstorm, so I decided not to die trying to get there, and your family's still mad at you, maybe that's not a good family to have at that point. You know, showed up a day late, but you're still alive. And they're like, nope, promised to be here exactly on Christmas Day, and that's you being dead and trying to get here on time is better than you being alive and being like 12 hours late.
And then the wife, right, when he gets there, you know, because he was late, she like opens up her jacket and pulls out some divorce papers and says, yes, and I'm asking for full custody of the kid. And
and then he goes back to the becomes famous. So I guess that's a happy ending. It, you know, he's got Charlie on the weekends, you know.
Well, no, she's just taking full custody. She doesn't want him to see
Charlie. Oh, I see. So he can visit him every now and then. And then supervise the visitation. He gives him another harmonica to try to make it feel better. I don't know.
Gives him a harmonica every time he sees him. And so he's like...
Every time. So it's got like 12 harmonicas.
He's like, Dad, my closet's full of harmonicas. Stop this.
Like, at least give me a different instrument this time. I don't know. You know, give me a guitar or something, you know. Oh boy. And can I just say something too? Not to be mean, but yeah. Like, I would think Jack Frost was the least important member of that band. I mean, he plays a harmonica. Everyone else is like jamming on the keyboards, doing these crazy guitar solos.
I mean, he was the singer, but still.
Not that great of a singer, in my opinion.
No, me either. So my thing is that band could have continued on, changed their name, and gotten...
Totally without him, yeah.
I mean, they could have just had Mark Addy sing, or his character, Mac, instead, or somebody else. So
yep. You know, but he founded the band, so I guess there's that sort of charismatic aspect to it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, he leads them, so they kind of need him for that sort of leadership. I mean, whatever.
And plus, in the history of music, no band has ever continued with a new singer. Oh, wait.
Oh, no, never, ever. That's never happened once. like Bad Company, Black Sabbath.
Van Halen.
Van Halen. I think Queen, but that was after Freddie Mercury died. Alice in Chains. I think at one point,
Journey.
Yeah, Journey. Bunch of bands, whatever.
Sticks. And then, Sticks. Yeah, you can get goes on and on.
I think Stone Temple Pilots at one point had a different singer. Yeah. No, that's a lot of bands. And,
well, they did have a different lead singer, and then he died too.
Oh, really?
Stone Temple Pilots had that guy from Linkin Park.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah, he was their new lead singer, and then.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. So anyway, a year goes by, and then what happens?
So one night after, you know, like Charlie's been just really depressed for a whole fucking year. Not saying he wouldn't be,
especially at Christmas though, because that's when his dad died in the car.
Well, yeah, earlier in the movie, there was like this big snowball fight with these bullies and stuff, and he was protecting this little girl that like seemed to have a crush on him or something. So yeah,
that was like the movie aspect of it.
Yeah,
you know, Disney Channel or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminded me of that that Christmas Project movie we watched last year.
Oh my God. Oh God.
Yeah.
We're going elving. We're going elving tonight. It's not a real thing.
There's a sequel to that movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway, so I almost chose that as this week's movie, but I chose this instead.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So one night he builds a snowman and he pulls out this box. It's got his dad's scarf and hat on it from the snowman that they made before. And so he builds a snowman, puts his dad's scarf and hat on it, and goes into his bedroom. And also in the box was that harmonica.
Oh.
So he plays the harmonica and da-da-da, we've got a live snowman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that night, Mac is watching the kid at the house, and but he's like sleeping and he can't be woken up for some reason, even when Charlie sees the snowman walking around and he's coming up to the window and saying, you know, Charlie, let me in, blah blah blah, and all this other stuff, and he blocks the door so nobody can get in with everything, including Mac and a lazy boy.
Yeah,
that he doesn't wait. He's moved across the room and he doesn't wake up.
Typical TV convenience. Oh, he's sleeping so hard he can't.
Yeah.
And also, too, when Jack became the snowman, it looked like they spent like $100 million of effects just on that one scene, and then like the rest of the effects are terrible in the movie.
Yeah.
Like all this weird like laser shit like circling around, you know, the snowman to put Jack's soul into. Snowman, I guess.
Which I didn't even really find that impressive either, so.
But for me, it looked kind of cool for 1998. I was like, oh my God, it's pretty interesting effects, and then the rest of the movie is, you know, even the way a snowman walks is kind of creepy and weird and scary looking, and
my thing is, it's like, they said it's a costume, so, I mean, this is like a similar, like a at this time, they had our Jim Henson's Creature Shop that made the snowman had already done things like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies where they did the turtles, and they had done other movies like this too, where they made, you know, creatures, you know, people that come to life. I mean, I believe they may have also worked on, I don't know if they did. I think it was somebody else that worked on Howard the Duck, but that's another story. Anyways, what I'm saying is they already knew how to do this stuff pretty well. And it wasn't too bad, but the thing is, they say it's a costume. So my thing is there like a little stuntman or actor inside that snowman?
What the hell?
Yeah.
That'd be creepy.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. But anyways, so he turns, you know, his mom comes home. This is after the Jack gets, Jack the snowman gets taken away on from a snowplow down the street. And you'd think he'd die from that. That's just me.
As long as he's got the head, you know, apparently it's fine.
Yeah. And and the snowplow driver is played by one of the Zappas. It's Ahmet Zappa is the snowplow driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he the mom comes home and he's trying to explain what happened and why, you know, why Mac's in front of the door and all this shit. The next day, what happens then? It was like something, there was like a snowball fight thing or something going on.
So it was the next day. So Charlie doesn't believe that the snowman's his dad, even though he's got the same voice. And what's hilarious is that he finally realizes it's his dad, because his dad said the totally youth name no one's ever thought of before is Charlie Boy. Yep. He's like, oh, I know that's my dad now because he said Charlie Boy. Like, I can understand if it's like some really unique name mm-hmm. that no one would come up. Like if your nickname was like, you know, Lamp or Stereo System or something like that. Like, oh yeah, no one's gonna know that, but like Playboy.
The following year, there's an unmade sequel to this movie where Charlie goes on the internet and some child predator targets him and calls him Charlie Boy randomly. And he thinks it's his dad. And then he's abducted and and murdered. So yeah.
No.
Wait.
That got really dark.
I know.
Got really dark. Yeah, so he calls him Charlie Boy, and he's like, oh, that's my dad now. And then this huge snowball fight, because the bully, doesn't want to pick on him anymore because he's no fun to pick on because he's always depressed.
Yeah.
And then you should get over it already. I didn't even know my dad. I'm like, oh, okay. And then, like, how can you get over something that you never had, though? So, like, I don't really understand that. Well, I guess technically I kind of do. But, like, whatever. And then, so Jack throws a snowball at him, and then he thinks it's Charlie. So then he's like, oh, you want to fight or whatever? And then Jack throws another snowball at him. So he's like, so then, like, now him and his crew of seventh graders or whatever, they start the snowball fight. And then Jack seemingly now has superpowers, which there was never any indication before that, where he could throw like snowballs at like lightning speed. And
he's throwing them like he's one of those, like, you know, those things that batters use when they those pitching machines or something.
Yeah, like training, like, yeah, yeah.
So this is where we get into the child abuse.
Yeah, because he's
Jack, who's like technically, I guess, an adult, is abusing children by throwing these snowballs at them really hard.
Like, really hard. Like, they're going like 90, 100 miles per hour, if not mm-hmm. more than that, hitting them in the face multiple occasions. Which, you know, especially if that's an ice ball, that could break your nose, cause...
That's another sequel where Jack Frost doesn't go away in the end, and he actually just moves to Alaska and becomes a minor league baseball pitcher.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then where it's always cold, and then because we'll get to that point later on too about the cold factor in this brilliant movie. And then we get like a snowboard scene that goes on for like 5 minutes. Like, total 1990s snowboard type of thing, where, you know, they chase them. Well, at one point, Charlie almost falls off a cliff.
That one bothered me. Okay, so he almost falls off this cliff before this happened, before the snowboarding aspect.
Yeah,
and he's like hanging there, and there are several kids on the other side looking down at him. They're all, and none of them do shit.
Nope.
They're all just gonna let this kid die.
Yep.
Just like, what the fuck?
Why not? I mean, why not? Everything else in this movie is so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. And then, so Papa Frost saves him by, like bouncing off of his sleigh or whatever sled.
Yeah,
he catches Charlie midair and then he breaks the fall by landing first. And
yeah.
then the kids, the bullies, then start chasing him down on their really cool snowboards that look like they were just bought that day or like a half hour previous to this. And then so Jack puts Charlie on his sled or whatever, and they have like this totally sick snowboard scene with like cool mute rock music playing, and you know whizzing through trees and pine trees and stuff like that. At one point the bully ends up like running into like a pine tree needles on his crotch or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that probably hurt. That's another child abuse right there, you know, and weaving a certain way to make the kid run into that, you know, you're strategically,
yes,
you know, maneuvering your snowboard in order for him to do that. Which again, where did he get all these abilities? You know, like I thought he just becomes a snowman. How is he now having magical powers?
I guess that's part of the deal. I don't know.
But we only see it one time. So it was like he used it all up in one scene. Well, and then, because he had the, you know, the snowball throwing. Oh, at one point he said when he's throwing. That's the other thing too. So like, the thing I can't understand, I mean, again, none of this movie you can really understand, but like, is that it almost seems like Jack's personality changed once he became the snowman.
Like, it's almost like he was a child in certain ways.
Yeah, because at one point when he's throwing these ice balls at like 200 miles per hour and potentially causing lifelong injuries to these children, and he says something like, "I'm the Wizard of Winter" or something like that, or the Wizard of Wonder. I was gonna write it down, but I forgot to. But it was like the Wizard of something. And then so they had this really cool snowboard thing, and then they successfully escape the bullies. And they go to like this like secret little like cave or whatever that like Charlie does like his magic spells with or something, I don't know. And then it's like a secluded cave, and there's like they're standing on ice, which, you know, hopefully the ice doesn't crack and they all fall and drown. And
then this was the moment where he called him Charlie boy.
Yes, was when he called Charlie.
Oh, before that, though, my second favorite line part of dialogue in the film was said. Charlie says to him, "You the man."
Oh God.
And Jack responds, "No, I'm the snowman."
I wonder if Michael Keaton's embarrassed by this movie.
I would be.
Because you gotta think, the movie right before this that he made, maybe he made one in between, but 96, he was in Multiplicity.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time. And 2 years later, Jack Frost.
He was in, right before this, he was in Out of Sight, which is a good movie. We're starring George Clooney. He was in Desperate Measures, which was a decent movie. Jackie Brown, because he played the same character in Jackie Brown and Out of Sight. Inventing the Abbots and then Multiplicity. So
a lot of movies in that time period.
And then after that, he went into a movie. He has a small role in a movie called Body Shots, which is like some teen 90s thing.
Oh,
looks like he was a small part in a movie called A Shot at Glory in 2002. It's like he didn't do anything for a little bit there.
Yeah.
It's like his career kind of went downhill after this movie for a little bit.
Yeah, then he did Birdman like in 2014.
That was a while later, but I mean, he ended up coming back after, you know, there was a few other movies that were decent, but he ended up doing things like after this movie, it's like things like First Daughter with Katie Holmes,
okay,
where he played the president, and
hey,
Herbie Fully Loaded and shit like that, you know, so something happened. Anyways,
I think Jack Frost is what did it.
Yeah,
Jack Frost is what happened.
So yeah. Anyways, they start to bond, the two of them, and you know, and the mom gets worried. But while they're on this ice thing too, though, he teaches him this really cool hockey trick or something using sticks and a stone.
And what was it called? The shot. What shot was it? Oh, I forgot the name of the shot. Yes, he was going to teach him this. End of the day, he went into the studio when he missed his son's hockey game. And he kept begging him to stay for like a few minutes longer. But Mac was the real bad guy in this one. Because Mac is the one that kept calling them to go in the car to make it to the studio on time. And so he was pressuring his best friend to not time with his son. And so that's Mac's fault right there.
That's probably why Mac ends up becoming like a father figure to him anyways. So
yeah, so then he gets to be the good guy when he was the bad guy, so that's nice, I guess. His friend got killed.
I wanted to see the movie end up where he ended up with Kelly Preston's character, Gabby, where Mac ended up with her at the end, and like they could have had the scene where Jack was like, and I want you to take care of my wife, and
as he's melting.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have much time.
I want you to take care of my wife. I want you to marry her. And I want you to give her good loving. Oh, wait, what?
And then Max, like, he's like, Jack, I'm gay. Yeah. I told you this, like, you always forget everything. All you think about is yourself.
Remember that time you tried to hook me up with your sister? That didn't work. Remember? I liked your brother more. Wait.
Yeah, come on. How many times do I have to tell you? Anyway, so. So he teaches him this shot. I wish I could think it was called the something shot.
I don't remember what.
And then Charlie finally figures it out, I guess. And he's like, yay! Great bonding experience. Mm-hmm. No, awesome. Oh, what else happens?
So then he ends up like, you know, he realizes that Snowman is his dad there, of course. And he reconnects with him and is happy that he's got his dad in his life again and everything. But he can't tell his mom there. You know, like there's a scene like where his mom's coming home. He's in the kitchen getting him food. That just doesn't make sense to me. So Snowman have to eat?
Yeah, because he said he was really hungry.
Yeah.
So
So he fed him like a bunch of frozen peas and stuff. It's...
And then, where's the digestive system? Where does the come from? Where does it go? Where does the pee come from? Nothing. No explanation. And then,
does it turn into yellow snow that you're not supposed to eat, or what?
Because we are talking Frank Zappa, so, you know, here, so you know, because that's Frank Zappa song. So, goddamn. And then, which I don't understand. Why couldn't he tell his mom? There's some movies, right, where a thing comes to life, like a object or toy or whatever, mm-hmm. and then only one person can hear this person talk because it doesn't talk in front of anyone else. But in this movie, it talks, for example, Henry Rollins' character sees this, and it talks to him, and he freaks out.
It's something like the whole, like, you know, like Mac and Me or E.T. sort of thing too, where like, you know, you want to hide the thing from your mom or something, but it doesn't make sense in this situation.
Because why would you want to hide her husband, you know, because talk to her? Who knows? You know, maybe, you know, he would tell her nickname, which would be Gab Girl or something like that. Like, oh, I know it's my husband, you know, just like this most generic nickname you can think of. And then,
Gabby Gal.
Gabby Gal, you know, or something like that. Oh, you are Jack. I can't believe it or whatever. And then like Charlie, go hang out with Mac for a while. And then like they go make love. And,
and then he melts from the passion.
He melts and his bed's completely soaked.
And all that's left is like his head. And she's just like, we always did want a waterbed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then Charlie comes out. What did you do to that? Holy sad left. No.
I'd rather watch that movie. Anyway, so
that would be. Oh, God. And then, he puts Jack in the closet. The floor's all wet. So she's like, what the hell's going on? And he's like, oh, it's some science project about whatever.
What it's like to live in an igloo or something. And it's just like, oh,
yeah,
really?
What is that? Make any sense. Okay, and then we've got the windows open, shit, just fucking up the heating bill by blowing in the cold air and shit like that. And then she opens the closet to get out like a mop, and then he screams at her so she doesn't see giant snowman staring at her. And then he starts just hanging out with his dad and taking him everywhere, talking to him in front of people are like, why is he talking to the snowman?
Yeah,
that's the other thing too. I would think he'd be more discreet about this, but no, he's just talking to him.
And everybody's worried about him, especially his mom and Mac are like, you know, thinking that the kid's like lost it. And it's like, get the kid therapy then or something. But
no point where they, I mean, I guess this is 1998, so I guess
it wasn't it. But even like there's a scene like where he ends up deciding that he wants to, because he had quit the hockey team and he decides that he wants to play. So the Henry Rollins and has got his dad minivan and he's picking up the girl from across the street or whatever, and because I guess she's on the team, and he tries to talk, he asks if he can be back on the team, and it's up to the teammates to decide, and they say yeah. But then he's going over there and he's talking to his dad.
Yeah, they can see
him. In a snowman. Like they're like 20 feet away. It's like...
And they're even talking about the fact that he's talking to the snowman. Like, they know that he's doing it.
At that point, if I were Henry Rollins, I'd be like, we're going to the ice rink. Yes, we are. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It may look like the hospital, but we're going to...
Yes, too. So, you know, this would only vindicate Henry Rollins. I just called him. I don't know his character's name. I just keep calling him Henry Rollins.
It's Sid Gronick.
At this point, what's his name?
Sid Gronick.
So at this point, Sid.
Yeah.
He'd say like, "Don't mention the snowman. I told you, no snowman talking here." But then it's like, so they're talking about Charlie talking to a snowman, and he himself has experience where he. So it's like he should have put two and two together and be like, "Oh, I'm not going crazy." Because there is another person who's talking to the snowman. Huh. It's mm-hmm. almost like the snowman's real.
Yeah.
And I did lose my mind. But no, we don't get any of that. And then, but why should we expect that we would?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no deep meaning behind this. That's the other thing, too. There's like some like what was that phrase you always say? Kill your darlings or something like
that. Oh, yeah.
There's like really interesting deep scenes in this movie that do not belong in this movie.
No.
All. Like when he makes the snowman, they're playing like Fleetwood and Mac, some really depressing song.
They play Landslide by Fleetwood Mac with Stevie Nicks singing. Yeah, and it's just like, what the heck?
It's really sad as he's building a snowman, and then the rest of the movie is just this weird Disney Channel fever dream. And
Fleetwood Mac, though, that's another band that changed lead singers several times. So, anyways,
yeah, that's another way. Oh my god.
Oh boy. But yeah. Anyways, so
what else happens? Yeah,
he's going to the game, and Jack wants to go to the game. So, how did he get there again? He
wanted his dog, which is a tiny dog.
Yeah, it's like a small, like what is it, like a Jack Russell or something? Like, it's really small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pull him, I guess.
Yeah, across town to the ice rink.
And I guess the dog came with him. Maybe not, I don't remember.
Yeah. And somehow he gets there, and then he has to... And by the way, this is like... Is this still like Christmas Day, or when is this? That's what I'm trying to
figure out. So, no, this is near Christmas, but... There was a heat wave going on, and so melting.
Okay, so yeah, that which makes no sense. Yeah. It's like in Colorado, where it's normally kind of cold that time of year and everything. It's all of a sudden going to be like 75 degrees out or something. And it's just like, but then again, you know, global warming and whatnot. So
maybe they slipped in a global warming propaganda in the Jack Frost movie to go like, oh, hey, it's going to be 70 degrees out. No, they wouldn't think that far ahead. But
then again, it's like 30 something today, and 2 days ago it was like 60 degrees out.
Yeah, very true. So far, it's been very mild.
So,
Yeah.
So anyways, he has to cross this like blacktop that's like really like, you know, the tar of the blacktop's getting hot from the sun. And which I don't think really happens in the 70s, but that's just anyway. So
it doesn't, but for him it does because he's
yes. Yeah, so he slides across the parking lot and ends up in the rink, and he gets to see Charlie play. And so then now they need to try to figure out a way to get him somewhere cold. And then they remember the cabin, which isn't that far away, but it's up on this big tall mountain in Colorado there. And so they try to find a way there. They run into the bully, and they have a scene where, you know, he explains to him that that's his dad and blah, blah, blah. And the bully says my favorite line in the whole movie.
Oh, God, I know what you're going to say.
Snow dad is better than no dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that. Snow dad is better than no dad.
Yep.
Yep. That was some great writing by...
Totally.
By one of the four people that wrote the screenplay. So
I almost think that they... started writing lines sarcastically because they couldn't even take their own movie seriously.
Yeah.
So they probably wrote that to make fun of those type of lines, and then they put it in anyway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. It's a good line. Let's throw it in there. Snow dad, there, no dad. God damn. And then, you're the man, I'm the snowman. Oh my God. And then
and at the same time, George Clooney's off filming a movie where there's got a lot of similar lines in it, said by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. Oh, what was one of the lines? I don't remember.
I don't even know, but they were all snow and ice puns done by Mr. Freeze. It was
one thing was so like, are you freezing me out or something?
Yeah,
I don't know, whatever.
Stupid shit like that. Makes me wonder, did the same people write the lines? No. Anyways.
They might have. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he ends up getting into the back of this truck somehow. The bully helps him into it, and then they end up at the cabin, spend the night there, whatever. And Gabby's like obviously like worried, she doesn't know where her kid is, so but she ends up finding out that he's at the cabin somehow. I don't even remember how.
Jack called her from the
phone.
He's like, that should have been that could have been into like a different plot. Like Charlie's safe, he's sleeping. Like
some guy just called and told me my kid's sleeping. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You should come pick him up. It's like, whoa. And then,
yeah. So so they're at the cabin. Jack's outside in the yard, you know, doing his snowman shit. And Gabby arrives, and after Jack and Charlie had a conversation, and Jack basically tells him, and you know, it's time to leave. You know, I got to leave this mortal coil. And he doesn't say that, but you know, when Gabby arrives, for a minute there, the snowman like outside disappears, and you get to see this like ghostly visage of Michael Keaton
and Jack. Yeah, in this human form.
Yeah, and he says farewell to both of them, and you know, says he loves them, and blah blah blah, and goes back to the afterlife. Yeah,
yep,
that's pretty much it.
And almost no music in this movie from the former band.
And you get to see these different. Oh, you do see a scene where Mac is like playing the piano and looks happy towards the end.
Oh, it's right. Yeah. So what I don't get though is why can't he just come back every time Charlie plays the harmonica?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, can
he just got magical properties? And
even Frosty the Snowman can come back every winter.
Yeah. And so, and why, you know, so like, was his soul like in some sort of purgatory this whole time? And that's how he was able.
We don't know where he was that whole year before he became.
Yeah. So it was, or does the afterlife have like a waiting period kind of thing where you're like kind of stuck in limbo for a year and you're like, oh, now it's time. Or maybe it's like, yeah, maybe it's like that and Second Chance type TV show where, you know, you gotta step on some little lever and then it lets you know if you go to hell or heaven or whatever.
Yeah.
And then who knows, it may have been a different version of this movie where Jack goes, hangs out with Gaddafi, you know, kind of suicide bomb vest that blows up every 2 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Punishment. He's like, oh, I didn't do anything that bad. I just, you know, didn't show up to my son's hockey game or whatever.
That's just as bad.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
No. So other people considered for roles in this movie: Jake Lloyd, who played Anakin in The Phantom Menace, was considered for the role of Charlie. Also, this I don't know if I buy this because okay, so it says before Michael Keaton was cast as Jack Frost, other actors considered were Jack Lemmon, who was pretty old at that time, Harold Ramis, Danny DeVito. This is according to IMDb. Somebody must have just made this shit up, I think. And Tom Welling, who at the time I think was on Smallville as Clark Kent, a teenager.
Yeah, so I think someone made this up.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking at that and I'm like, there's no way that in the consideration for the same role is going to be Jack Lemmon and Tom Welling.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, I believe the Mel Gibsons and the Tim Allens and the Kurt Russells and whatnot, but I don't believe.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, yeah, that's pretty much it on that. Any other thoughts about this?
No, not really.
Yeah, I can't wait for the sequel.
I would probably watch it.
as
a joke or just something. I don't know. And then,
they should make a sequel.
They should. Michael Keaton could reprise his role. Nice. This time he's a grandfather because at this point,
yeah,
Charlie has his own family. You know, I don't know. And then, they're like, oh yeah. So what it will be is Charlie, you know, kind of has like some stuff packed away and like the harmonica is one of them. And then Charlie's son, who he calls Charlie Boy, that's like his actual name. And so, So Charlie Boy is like kind of just rummaging around. So Charlie Boy is like, because near Christmas, okay? So he's kind of like sneaking in the parents' bedroom, like see what they got for Christmas, you know, kind of thing. And he's like rummaging around through the closet. And then like, as he's like trying to reach up to see like a big present, and then like a bunch of stuff falls down, and then like one of the boxes is like the harmonica, and then the box kind of like opens up as it belts down.
Yeah, it's got the harmonica and the hat and the scarf.
Yeah, and so then he picks up the harmonica, and then he puts on the hat, and then he puts on the scarf, and then he plays the harmonica. But this time, then Jack takes over the body of his grandson because the hat and scarf. So then it's like a Freaky Friday type situation where so Charlie Boy is not like a spirit floating around or whatever.
Oh, this is a disturbing film. Anyway, so
really disturbing. And then he keeps going, Charlie Boy. And he's like, yeah, I know your name's Charlie Boy. That's what I named you. Why do you keep saying your name? And it's like, so it doesn't really work at first, you know?
And the name of the movie is Jack Frost 2, I Am My Own Grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, so like the whole point is like, you know, Charlie, you know, has already made peace and stuff like that. So in this movie, it's not so much of like trying to like reconnect with his dad. Now it's they're both trying to figure out like how do we get Charlie Boy's spirit back into his own body. That's like the new MacGuffin type of thing, you know. And so like, you know, most of the movies really, I mean, the most of the movie takes place during Christmas time, but it's not really, you know, it's not really about snowman. I think at one point they buy a bunch of snowmen to see if like Charlie Boy is in any of those, but they're not. They're just regular snowmen. And then at one point they go back to the cave where. You know, he taught him how to do that shot or whatever, the hockey shot. And unfortunately, at this point, this is like, it takes place in like the 2030s. And so global warming has done its thing. So there's really not much ice anymore. And so they're pretty much just like wading through the water, potentially getting hypothermia from the cold water. Because the water's still cold. I mean, it's cold water because it's still in Colorado. But, you know, it's not ice. And then they basically start learning how to do like practice like dark magic and stuff like that, and maybe hopefully that could like, you know, summon Charlie Boy's spirit back into his own body. Jack can then go back into the afterlife. Everything's great, you know, but you know, we'll see, you know, how that turns out.
It turns out in the end that actually Charlie Boy's been inside of a Slurpee the whole time, and
yeah,
a special Christmas Slurpee from the 7-Eleven down the street, and
no one's drunk, so he's still there. And then, you know.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm in like a weird mood today.
Me too. So, anyways, folks, if you want to make sure your dad doesn't end up a snowman, you might want to check out our TeePublic. Yeah. I'm thinking of creating some new merch based on this movie.
Good.
We may have a snow dad is better than a snow dad. T-shirt coming soon.
I'm a snowman too.
Yeah. Give us a couple of weeks, and I might have that up in the TeePublic. Keep an eye out for that. Also, if you want to help support the show, check out our Patreon. Go to all2real2.com. All the links are in there. You can listen to the show on anywhere you find podcasts. Here, of course, wherever you're listening to this, I don't know. Share it with your friends. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can do that. I don't know which platforms allow reviews, but the best way to do, like, if what you're listening to doesn't allow the review, just go to Apple and give us a review there. It really helps the show. It's something you can do for absolutely nothing. It takes you like 2 minutes, you know. Also, check out the charities that we have in the show notes. There's a lot of good charities that can help out people in the world today that are suffering. And just remember one thing, that Snow Dad is better than No Dad, and All Too Real 2 podcast is better than No Podcast. And I love you. Sesame loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.